Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Final hour of the week brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. Stock up right now for the weekend. At Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory. All with the Sunbury Motors guarantee and a great service department that gets it done. Whether it happens to be routine inspections, diagnostics, they handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. Nate Bauer in just a few moments. Scott Spinelli on the NBA playoffs final half hour. First, our play-by-play call of the day. Dallas advances by beating Utah.
Hold on and move on to the second round. O'Neal, trigger man, toss, cross court, Bogdanović, ball fake, Bogdanović! Misses on a three ball, and it's over! For the first time since 2011, when the Mavericks won the title, they are advancing in the playoffs. They hold off the Jazz and take this first round series in six. Bojan Bogdanović got a clean look, which would have given Utah the lead.
In the end, Dallas advances as they beat the Utah Jazz in the NBA playoffs dramatically last night in Salt Lake City. Scott Spinelli will talk about the Mavs, among others, including the Sixers. In the final half hour, we'll look at the NBA playoffs. But before we get to that, we bring in Nate Bauer on 3.com, Blue White Illustrated. Nate has been having, by the way, an online chat with all the wonderful people at on3.com and also Blue White Illustrated. And here's my opportunity to take him away from the chat just for a few moments. Sir, always a pleasure. Welcome.
You know, it's an all-day extravaganza. All of the chatting that they can possibly handle. But we'll put it aside for a moment. What do you got?
I just thought you needed a break.
I do. I dug in here with some salad. You know, my fingers can only take so much typing, you know, in a row like that. So,
well, see,
thanks for the offer.
And then the other part is that I think you need to keep, you know, the hands a little loose because you're going to get back out on the golf course.
That's correct. Steve, you know, listen, I don't want to belabor the point and moan and complain, but the weather here is just awful. I don't know how I've lived here all this time. I've been out twice. It's not nice. What are we doing?
I've been out 8 times. Now
this year?
But I have not played more than 9 holes.
Still, man, you're way ahead of me. I mean, I don't feel like there have been 8 nice days.
I didn't say they're all nice days. I didn't say that.
That's dedication.
No, I wanted to get out and get some exercise, walk around a little bit. But so let's get to Patrick Kraft for a moment. Tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock in the morning, there's going to be the compensation committee meeting.
Yep.
Which will then put this finally out there.
Yep.
What's the read that you're getting that should it be him that Penn State will be getting?
I think excitement, you know, I think certainly there's an air of, you know, enthusiasm. Look, like the first thing about him that I've seen and has been kind of reflected in some of the interviews that I've seen him do, some of the feedback that I've gotten from people who know him. It's all like this dude is just effervescent. He is gung-ho. He's infectious. Like, you just cannot kind of escape what he brings to the table in terms of his personality. And so I think marrying a guy who had success at Temple, right, like undeniable success at Temple, and providing him with the resources that Penn State can have in its athletic department, it just, like, that combination creates a type of potential for success that has people excited. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that.
I met him, I think, a couple times, and it's one of those, hi, how are you, you know what I mean, in the press box at Lincoln Financial Field, you know. He probably came by to see Jack. I mean, I'm realistic about life. He's an absolutely outgoing guy. I mean, there's no getting around it. He's also, from what I understand, a very, he gets where football fits in the landscape. Would that be a fair assessment?
I think that is 100% the key. Right. Like, that is the blinking red light. Is, look, he is a former football player, was a walk-on in Indiana, gets it, right? Gets what football can mean for a university, certainly for an athletic department, and I think has a perspective, given his age, right? He's young 40s. He gets what's going on. Right. And what's going on is college football, college athletics are undertaking this massive shift. Right. And if you're not going to be part of that shift, if you're going to kind of try to resist it, then, you might find yourself left behind. I don't think that Penn State is in any danger of that necessarily. But, like, in terms of trying to be at the forefront, I think that that's been, a little bit of a sticking point over the last few years as these things have started to take hold in this landscape. So, yeah, no, I mean, loves football, is all about football, and I think understands and sees that, specific to Penn State, the success of Penn State's football program, if I don't want to go on too much of a tangent. If you look at the success stories in college football that exist today, right, Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, across the board, okay, these programs have made a decision, and you can trace it back, right, 5, 10, 15 years ago, where they said, we know what football can do, we're going to be all in on it, and when we are, it will help everything else. When we commit and invest and do all of these things to ensure the success of the football program, everything else will take care of itself. Everything else will trickle down from that. And I think my sense is that he gets that, and he sees that there's going to be that opportunity at Penn State to do the same kind of thing.
And he also secured a rather large league gift for the basketball practice facility at Boston College. He also did a really nice job with Boston-based companies when it came to the shoe deals, as to how he negotiated that. And people, I don't think people realize Penn State's Nike deal, after, I think, what, 14 years, this is it. They're in the process of going at it again. But he's been involved in this even in a short time at BC.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's certainly, I think that the New Balance deal is interesting, right? I mean,
yes.
It's just outside the box thinking, right? I mean, I think that that's the key message there, is willing and able to think again, like, outside the box, think about what possibilities might exist, what partnerships could exist. He's a people person. Like, there's no question about, what his personality is. And I think that Penn State is in, specific to athletics, it's just in this interesting moment, right, where the capital campaign for the university is wrapping up, in the process of wrapping up, right? They just eclipsed $2 billion.
Yeah.
And, look, athletics has needs. There is just this overwhelming demand to kind of get things going from a And not that this hasn't happened, right? Like, certainly the lacrosse field, basketball has had some renovations. Football has a massive renovation that's going on right now.
Yeah.
There are strides that have been taken, but you can also understand, if you look at the broad picture, where other things also need to happen. And very specifically, I'm thinking of that hulking piece of metal sitting on Curtin Road, right? And Porter, like it needs to be addressed. And I think that you're going to see in short order, you know, maybe not actual progress toward a goal there, but certainly direction being set, I think is fair to assume will come soon.
The other element is, and part of that's concrete. Come on, you're so unfair. A part of that, too, is that by going from Temple to Boston College, BC does have 29 sports. So he does, he's been in charge of a large, the CEO of an overarching athletic department. How important is that experience coming into from 29 there to 31 here?
It's huge. Look, like, in a very real sense, there are, you know, so many mouths to feed, and all of these, there's a natural state of conflict between head coaches and what they need and what they want, and an athletic director who has to figure out how to divvy up that pie.
Right.
One, the top responsibility is to do everything in your power, right, to increase the size of that pie so that there's more resources to distribute. But then once you have that, how are you going to break it up? How, like, what are the priorities? You got to set priorities, you know, and that is a huge difference. There is a huge difference between Temple's, what, 17 sports?
Yes.
I think?
Yes.
And 29 at Boston College.
Yeah.
So he has some experience with 29 at Boston College. Now he's going to go to 31 at Penn State. He's going to have to do an assessment of, you know, where are these programs? What are their needs? Right, like all of that is going to be on his plate very early in the process.
Can it be made easier in that assessment, in that we just talked about the Nike contract and the hope for more money there, but the TV 100%. Contract probably right around Memorial Day or before, you know, according to John Orrin, that's when the Big Ten should have it done. Now, that won't be for the upcoming season. It wouldn't start until July 1, 2023. But that could bring with it an increase that separates the Big Ten from the ACC, the Pac-12, and the Big 12 dramatically.
Yes, I mean, it's going to be huge. It's going to be huge. It's almost. What was the number, Steve? 2.5 times,
right?
Like,
yeah.
It's a massive number.
It is.
You know, I think that the split right now, and I could be wrong. I haven't looked at this in a little bit, but I think the number was something like $35 to $38 million a year. Does that sound right on the revenue split?
I think when you add in the college football playoff, I mean, I think when you add in the college football playoff money and the TV money and so forth, it came out to like $54 million a school.
Okay.
Yeah, it's got, but it's, I'm combining numbers here. To do that. So that's when it comes to conference revenue sharing. That's about, because conference revenue sharing does entail money everybody gets from the splits that you put in home football games, the splits you put in home basketball games. There's revenue sharing. There's NCAA tournament money that goes.
Yeah.
Now that goes into the, you know, that obviously goes into the basketball budget, but in terms of like your plus and minus. But it comes out to about $54 million, I think, when it's all said and done. And on this show, there's always a lot more said than done.
but you're still looking at,
they could get 75 to 80 per.
Exactly. And so if that's the case, and it increases that by, you know, a few dozen million, right, into the 30s and the 40s, that is huge. I mean, there is a point that has been made and will continue to be made that doesn't separate you, right? Because everybody else is making that same money. in the Big Ten.
Yes.
So when you're talking
right.
about your peers in the league and in the conference, yeah. specific to football, but everywhere really, is that money is going to everybody. So Penn State still needs to find ways to increase donor participation.
No question.
Right? Like all of those things are going to be, you know, front and center, like you said. I mean, especially that Nike contract, figuring out where they go there. It looks like Under Armour is tapped out, you know. I mean, it seems likely to me, and I'm spitballing here, but like it seems likely that Nike will continue to be the partner. It's just a matter of market value, right? And and how that has changed over the last, you know, whatever it's been, 10 years since it was last negotiated.
Well, yeah, and let's face it. As the athletic director at Temple, they were getting, we're talking about the numbers, they were probably getting $5 to $7 million, right?
Yep.
BC, because it's the ACC, is a flat number for the next 15 years.
Yep.
I mean, it doesn't go anywhere. I mean, it goes up a little bit every year. So he's going to be dealing with numbers here that it's going to look like Christmas.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean he doesn't have issues he's got to take care of. And you mentioned Beaver Stadium. But he's got some numbers to work with. How about that?
Absolutely. But look, you know this, it doesn't matter how much you have, there will always be a crunch and a crush of resources.
Yes.
It does not matter. Yeah. the pot can be.
There's never
infinite.
Enough. There's never
There's
enough.
Never enough.
Right.
Never enough.
Right.
And so it's just about massaging that. Understanding, you know, personalities, needs, like what's a real need and what's not a real need. That is right. tough to decipher sometimes. But if at the front of the bus and who's driving the bus, if that is football for Penn State and there are opportunities to increase, right, like what you're bringing in, I think
that
there are opportunities, for development for Penn State athletics as a whole.
I mean, that's called investment. You invest in what makes money. You invest in the engine. So,
Start by selling out Beaver Stadium every game.
Yes.
Follow it by sell, like because these are things that it doesn't necessarily seem like that much, but tickets you can control.
Yes.
Sell all the tickets. Start there.
Yeah.
Sell all the tickets to men's basketball.
Yes.
Right. Sell more tickets for women's basketball.
Yeah.
Right. If you start to do those things, you're gonna see that pot and that pie continue to increase.
I'm gonna let you get back to the chat now. Apologize to everybody there that I stole you away for a half an hour.
I'll tell them it was for an extremely important reason, so they'll understand.
Yeah, the important reason was to bail a half hour out of the show. No, just kidding. And make it better. How about that?
I'll take it. I love it.
Hey, you're the best. Thanks, Nate. Thanks. Appreciate you so much.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Nate Bauer on 3.com, Bluewood Illustrated. Always great to have him on the show. Always great to have you listening to the show today. Scott Spinelli, final half hour. We'll deviate from the NFL draft and also from the naming of Pat Kraft to talk about the NBA playoffs with Coach Scott here in the final half hour of the show. It is great to have you with us on the show today. It's been obviously a big news day. Look, the Giants made themselves better. The Eagles absolutely made themselves better. By drafting Jahan Dotson, the Commanders made themselves better. You know what's interesting? The team that didn't make themselves better? The Cowboys. Was not enamored with that pick at all. The Cowboys are the only team in the NFC East, in my opinion, that at least in the initial feel for what happened, just didn't feel like they made themselves better with that pick. The Eagles, Browns are number one, balances Smith beautifully. Davis, especially with Cox and Hargrave there, he'll be able to get integrated into that lineup, and I think he will help them. He's not the pass rusher you think he is. He is, for a big man, a really good athlete. The problem he has is going to be the stamina element. And again, he didn't have to play a lot of plays down at Georgia, 25.2 plays a game. but it doesn't mean he's not talented. He is very talented, and I thought that was a very good pick. The Giants made themselves better with Neal at offensive tackle and Thibodeau from Oregon at defensive end. The Giants, right, as my son Dan texted me last night, he said, it's great to have adults drafting again. And Jahan Dotson. Ron Rivera is a really good coach. He really is. And if they can keep Terry McLaurin, they've got some things on offense that can work. It's just the organization you worry about. But Jahan is just a terrific person, and he's going to help them a lot. All right. Scott Spinelli, NBA playoffs, next half hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Brewers Outlet, the beverage superstock superstores, ready for all of your warm weather activities. Camping, picnics, grilling, visit Brewers Outlet first. For microbrews, imports, domestic specialties, they got them. Grab some pickles at the Pickle Bar, Steve Jones's favorite place. Snacks, Brewers Outlet has that covered. Soda, sports drinks, check. Weekly specials, too. And there's lots of convenient parking. So get all the refreshments everyone will love for your next outdoor gathering at Brewers Outlet, the beverage superstock superstore, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Final half hour of the show. Great to have you with us. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And six great flavors of slushies. The Pickle Bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. This is all at Brewers Outlet. Stock up for the weekend now. At Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at Sunbury Motors. .com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And not only that, a great service department that backs it all up. It's one-stop vehicle shopping. They can take care of routine inspections, diagnostics. They handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Big day with Patrick Kraft being named Vice President for Intercollegiate Athletics at Penn State. Great press conference today. You want to talk about the ability to win the press conference? Well, he did. He'll start officially July 1st. Big night for the Eagles. Howie Roseman, big trade. He got A.J. Brown. Look, this is a salary dump, a salary cap move by the Titans. So, and Howie Roseman took advantage of it. They get a legit number one to then play opposite Devontae Smith. That's big. You know, Jalen Hurts now has all the tools at his disposal. The Davis pick was really good as well. I don't expect him to be that 50-60 play a game guy. It's not him. He averaged 25.2 plays a game at Georgia. And so, but he can be integrated because of Hargrave and Cox. They can be integrated into that lineup. Kenny Pickett, good pick by the Steelers. You know, there's a lot of wideouts, and when they all went in that flurry, I mean, all right away. Williams goes. Olave goes. Wilson goes. Drake London goes. Jahan Dotson goes.
I don't blame him for looking around and saying, you know what, we'll take quarterback and we'll take the guy that we know better than anybody. Because remember, Pitt works out at the same facility the Steelers do. The Steelers could go and see him anytime they want. Right? And look, he's older. It'll be, I think, a smoother transition for him because he is. So that's the pick there. Giants got better. Jets got better. Lions got better. A lot of teams got better in this draft. Now, chance tonight, rounds 2 and 3. You talk about the Chiefs and the Packers. They need wideouts, didn't get them. You notice there was no wideout picked after 18 last night. So the Chiefs and the Packers didn't miss out on anybody, at least yet. There's still more wideouts to pick. Really good ones. And the Chiefs and the Packers can do that tonight in round 2. And expect tonight Jaquan Brisker and Arnold Ebiketie and Brandon Smith to all go. All right, NBA playoffs. Philadelphia fans, great night with the draft and a great night with the Sixers. They not only beat Toronto, they ran them out last night, putting 132 on the board. Scott Spinelli, the coach, joins us. We're going to talk about the NBA playoffs, a couple notes on the Sixers, and then we'll move on to other teams. Coach, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve. How are you? Thanks for having me. Always great to be here with you.
All right. So the Sixers, we know Joel Embiid's playing hurt. I mean, he's going to wait till after all this is over with to get surgery. And he's playing, but the other night, for example, he went 0-for-4 from 3. You acquired James Harden for a reason. Harden's never been the greatest playoff player ever, but what isn't he doing right now? Because it feels like this is the moment they need him to step up.
Well, I think what's happened over the last couple of games, as you know, Scottie Barnes being back, you know, has really helped Toronto, especially on the defensive end of the floor. You know, here's a kid that's legitimately, you know, a 6'9", 7-foot wingspan. He moves like a guard. He's got tremendous feet, great instincts. And look, when you have somebody of that size that's guarding you, I think it's, you know, it makes it a little bit harder for James Harden to get those open looks. And even if he does create space with his patented, you know, 1 or 2 foot step backs that he has, you know, Scottie Barnes is still big enough, long enough, you know, to contest those shots. And then the other thing Toronto's doing is, look, they're swarming to his drives. Anytime James Harden does go by his guy, you know, you'll see Toronto, you know, really swarming to the basketball defensively and almost making him a playmaker. And honestly, Steve, he's making the right play. Philly just hasn't made those shots over the last couple of games.
Right. And that's a good point because he is in that playmaking role. I've watched Minnesota and Memphis, and I've come away with a couple of observations. One is really simple, and it's really not exactly profound. Man, Ja Morant really knows how to play. I mean, call me a genius.
Yeah. You are. That's a great observation. Right.
Thanks so much for backing me up on that. But the other part is that for a guy that's in his seventh year in the league, Karl Anthony Towns, who's obviously got a big reputation. Am I right that I don't feel like he plays smart basketball?
Well, look, I think Karl Anthony Towns is a very instinctive player, and I think he's wired, you know, at times to score the basketball or really look to be aggressive offensively. But I'll tell you what, you know, he shot it so well, especially from the three-point line down the stretch there the other night. It really, I thought, was the difference maker in that game. As good as, you know, Morant was, I mean, obviously, you know, I think, you know, he's the type of guy that, you know, on, you know, from Memphis anyways, he just is so talented. But Anthony Towns, look, you know, he had 28 points. He kept them in that game single-handedly. And they, you look at a couple of these games now that they would have, could have, should have. Minnesota easily could already have won this series.
Oh, I know.
It could be up 3-2. But to your point about Towns, I just think that he's wired to score. He's looking to be aggressive offensively. And again, the other night, I thought he was, you know, he kept them in that game with his 3-point shooting.
My issue with him is the fouls.
I mean, that's true.
I mean, that's where my issue is. Where, yeah, I understand he's wired. I mean, the 3-point shot is great. When he plays with his back to the basket, he moves beautifully, everything. But Scott, it's the number of fouls. It's his seventh year in the league, and I just don't. I think you got to be smarter about how you play that part of it because he's like running into fouls sometimes.
Yeah, I agree. I know I do. I agree with that. I think sometimes too. Look, you know, he is relatively still, and I hate to use this excuse, young, because you really aren't young. But you know how this goes. I mean, sometimes you get a little bit amped up, overly excited.
Yeah.
But he does commit some fouls that, you know, I think sometimes he's so emotional. He plays with that, you know, chip on his shoulder, that fire to him. And I think it affects him, to your point, Steve, in being a little bit overly aggressive or really kind of taking some chances defensively that – and again, hurts the team because he commits these, what I would say, bad fouls.
Hey, Scott, what kind of adjustments have the Suns made because they know they had to play without Devin Booker? What have been a couple of the adjustments they've had to make?
Well, I tell you what, here's what I see in that series. First of all, they really have shown why they're the number one seed. Their backs have been to the wall.
Yeah.
The Pelicans really had switched the momentum, and they've shown a lot of fight, right? But what I see more than anything, you know, in that series right now is, you know, the guys coming off the bench for them, you know, Payne, I thought, you know, he was really good the other night. I think they're getting a lot more production, and those guys are much more aggressive than they were, you know, when Booker was in the game. Because without Booker, I mean, Booker is their best, you know, scorer. To not have him in the lineup, they really can't make that offensive productivity up with one guy. And so they're all, you know, coming off the bench and doing so. That would be one thing I would say, just to give credit for the bench. The second thing is, look, I mean, you know, in those two games that they needed fourth quarter production on fourth quarter clutch play, you know, Chris Paul has stepped up. And two of those wins in the fourth quarter, he was just at another level. Even at 36 years old, 37 years old, he kind of put the team on his back and carried them. They put the ball in his hands and said, look, we're going to win or lose with Chris Paul. And I think that adjustment or that confidence in him, even with Booker there, I mean, I think he's the guy that has to be able to get them over the hump in close games. And he's responsible for two of these wins by his efficient play in the fourth quarter.
Great point. No question. Great point. I always feel that we all know who the stars are on teams. It's obvious. You know, and they play, like you said, Chris Paul plays like a star. For example, Ja Morant plays like a star. And then there's like that really, really good guy that does a lot of things for you where they may not be the star, but if you take them out, you lose a ton. I look at Mikal Bridges, you know, and I loved him at Villanova. And yeah. I watch him at this level, and I think his game at this level wins games for teams.
It does. It really does. You know, the one thing about Mikal Bridges, you know, I don't think a lot of people really knew, and even myself, like when he came into the NBA, because you see kids like that assume a role for Villanova where he was counted on to put up points and to do a lot of things to help them win in the box score. And, you know, one of the things about evaluating players, whether you're evaluating them from high school to college or from college to the NBA, or you use Chris Middleton, for example, you know, sometimes you have to see past what they're doing in their individual roles in their respective teams, because every coach has a system. Every coach has defined roles. And with Bridges, he was counted on to do a lot offensively for Villanova, but he is still a very capable offensive player. We all know that. But what he actually has done with Phoenix is become a star in his role. And at times, if he needs to score, he can do that. If he needs to make the three-point shot, he can do that. If he's a guy that needs to finish on the break and get fouled, he'll do that. And at the same time, all he's doing is what Coach Wright in Villanova has done through their time, and that is he's all about winning and helping the team win. And I think that's sometimes a Chris Middleton-type guy. Sometimes the box score or his statistics don't measure the impact that he actually has on winning.
Yeah, and Middleton doesn't look like he's going to play round two. So with the Celtics and the Bucks, no Middleton in the mix. Williams for the Celtics was able to begin to get back into the mix. And the games against the Nets were, you know, what, 7 points or less all the way through. How do you look at Milwaukee-Boston?
Well, I think first, when you look at let's look at the Celtics first. They're playing right now with so much confidence. I mean, oftentimes when you look back, even last year, right, when you looked at that Milwaukee-Brooklyn series and Kevin Durant stepped on the line, you know, where if that shot was a three, Milwaukee would have been out, right, in the playoffs. And then they go on and win the championship. This year, you look at that game one in when the Celtics, you know, Tatum made that kind of twisting or spinning layup at the buzzer to give them that first win. I think that really helped their psychic and their confidence. And I think right now the Celtics are playing with that type of momentum behind them. They're as complete a team as there is right now besides Milwaukee, if Middleton was there. Defensively right now, they're not only guarding the basketball, but you've got five guys in a stance. I love to say fingertips and voices when you're off the ball defensively, where they're actually pointing and you're communicating, and you can see all of that. And the last thing I'll say about the Celtics is when you have a guy like Marcus Smart, great defense starts with pressure on the ball. His energy becomes infectious, you know, his toughness. I think he sets the tone. I think the Celtics, even though Tatum is a star and Brown is this and that, I just think, you know, right now Smart really sets the tone for them. With that said, the Bucks are going to be a tremendous matchup. I think Holiday has got that toughness to him also. Yeah. They obviously have Giannis. And they have other guys now that are stepping up. Grayson Allen's playing very well. Portis is assuming more of an offensive role with Chris gone. This will be a very, very interesting series. But again, I'm going to give the edge to the Bucks, and the only reason why I say that is because until you dethrone the champion, right? They're the champions right now. You know, when you get in those close games, they have that's the edge that they have. Now, this is going to be a really good series with two very, very good teams, so it'll be interesting to see. But that's my only concern with the Celtics is that championship experience that the Bucks have.
In a daring move, Steve Kerr put Steph Curry back in the starting lineup. I mean, gutsy. I mean, I know what he was doing. In other words, we're winning with him coming off the bench, and then we lose, we'll put him back, we'll start him. I mean, I got it. what about the chemistry that the Warriors have now that they have all the parts back in place?
Well, what they've done, if you really watch Golden State.
At least you and I have fun when we talk about this stuff.
Oh. That's a funny one right there.
Yeah.
They put oh, my God, Steph Curry back in the stuff. But, you know, Steve, I'll tell you what I see here, you know, with Golden State, and if you really look at their track their minutes and what they've done, is look, they've limited Looney a little bit more now. They've taken him out, and they're playing Draymond Green at the five, right?
Yep.
So now you have a lineup out there that pretty much is kind of unguardable where you have a .5 man. You have all these weapons around him. The one thing about not only you have a five man out there that can pass, dribble, and shoot, but he's willing and ready to make the right play every time. He doesn't get caught up in, you know, trying to drive or trying to post up a smaller guy. And right now they're averaging, I think it's 118 points a game. They're making over 15 threes a game. Their offense right now with that lineup on the floor, to your point, Curry, it even makes it that much easier for those guys where you can't take away, you know, some of their strengths, you know, because of the way Golden State has adjusted their offense. They're a very difficult team to match up with right now.
Yeah, I mean, really, really tough. What's made Dallas so tough? I mean, Doncic had missed time in the whole deal. Why have they been so tough for Utah?
I'll tell you what. I mean, if you look at, you know, their series so far, you know, they've had some guys, Jalen Brunson, another, you know, Villanova guy, stepped up here, had some big games. And again, it goes back to what we've talked about. As good as Doncic is on offense, I think what's happened here with Dallas is they've got a really complete roster.
Yeah.
I think you've got to give credit to Coach Kidd and his staff. I mean, they're defending right now. At a higher level. They're playing harder defensively. And even Doncic, who was somebody that had a rap of not defending or taking possessions off, I mean, he's in a stance, you know, guarding and really playing, you know, playing for the team on defense too. So I think right now with Dallas, they're playing very well. But those other guys, again, you know, when the role has to change a little bit, when Doncic was out, you know, all those other guys stepped up, and they've got a really nice roster there. They've got a lot of quality pieces to that team. But to your point about when Doncic was out, I thought Brunson was the major difference maker in those games, and he put up huge numbers, and he was efficient in doing so.
Hey, for people who haven't watched Miami, you know, they've been the number one. You know, they're the number one seed in the East. Spoelstra's done just a terrific job. Everybody always talks about Jimmy Butler, but what are the other parts that they have that have really allowed them to, a lot of ways, sometimes be a more complete team than others?
Well, I think they're playing, again, you know, with those three-point shooters out there. You know, we've talked about the three-point line being the great equalizer. Yep. But, you know, even Max Strauss right now, you know, who was a kid that started off, you know, at a small school in Illinois, Chicago.
Yep.
And then he transferred to DePaul, and he was a kid that a lot of teams kind of thought, nah, he doesn't have the foot speed. But his three-point percentage, I mean, Tyler Hero is obviously offensively playing well. And then you add Duncan Robinson's ability to make shots. Even if they're not, you know, necessarily getting those shot opportunities, teams have to guard those guys, and then it opens up driving lanes, you know, for everybody else. And look, I think, you know, when you look at Bam, you know, Adebayo, I mean, I think he's a little bit underrated offensively, but he does whatever he has to do to win. But I just love their team, and I think their three-point shooters open up the floor for not only, you know, for those big guys, but for those guards to drive the ball and open up it to get them shots also if you help.
Yeah, you had to bring up Strauss. I did the Penn State-DePaul game. All right. You had to bring up Robinson. I've done enough Penn State-Michigan games. I mean, you're killing me here. No, you're bringing back.
Oh,
all,
man,
you're
I got back. My stories about Robinson, too, Steve. Listen, I might not be doing what I'm doing now if things had worked out in another way. It's a recruiting story. Someday we'll talk about it. But, you know,
God,
he was a Division III player.
Yeah,
you know
Williams.
That, right?
He was at Williams, right?
Yeah. Williams College, and he was transferring, and we got to Boston College, and somebody said to me, "Look, you got to see this kid." So I went to see him work out, and I called Jimmy Christian. I said, "Jimmy, you're not going to believe this, but our best player right now that we would have on the Boston College roster is a Division III transfer." He's like, "Come on, are you kidding me?"
He's
had a tremendous career.
Yeah, so we're both getting the shakes talking about him. All right. I always enjoy talking basketball with these coaches. Appreciate you very much, Scott.
Steve, thank you. And listen, shout out to your new athletic director out there, Pat Kraft, who came from Boston College, too. Great, great leader, and I think you guys are really going to like him. Eminent guy, he's one of the best.
Hey, appreciate you saying that. I know he will, too. Thanks so much, Scott.
Take care, Steven. Take care. Have a good day.
Scott Spinelli. All right. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK.